Hello everyone, welcome to the Laura Horne Art Podcast. This is our season finale, so we have been back now for 10 episodes, or this is our 10th episode back after our break. So what I thought we would do for this episode is reflect on the past 10 episodes, including this one, and talk about some of the themes that came through and also answer a few questions that I have received from people who have tuned in. So it's going to be a very relaxed conversation, and relaxation has been the theme of this season. And we didn't set out with the idea of having an overarching theme for the season, but it's something that came through in many of our episodes. And I started the podcast talking about how I wanted to become a more relaxed woman. I didn't want to be someone who's always rushing, who's overthinking, being overly perfectionistic, and ultimately making my life harder than it needed to be. And that's one of the reasons why we had such a long podcasting break, was because I had made the podcast harder than it needed to be. And so when we decided to come back, we knew that something had to change, that we had to work differently, and we needed to bring in this ethos of being relaxed, that done is better than perfect, that it's just about getting conversations and ideas out. And it has been groundbreaking for me, transformative, and it led to a whole lot of other changes in my creative life. And I'm incredibly grateful. I'm grateful to this podcast. I'm grateful to you for sitting down with me and having these conversations and bringing that side of myself out. And of course, I'm grateful to all of our lovely listeners. So yeah, it's been about being relaxed. Do you think that we have achieved that in relation to the podcast? And then we'll talk about it in other aspects of art and life. But do you think we've been more relaxed in your view?
Yeah, it's been a pleasure this time around. It's just good to be able to record and then not worry about the edit straight away, to be able to just take your time. And it just makes working a lot more enjoyable.
Yeah, because when we sat down and talked about how we were going to make this change and make the podcast a more relaxing and enjoyable experience, we decided to give ourselves a bit of grace, because in the past we often recorded an episode and then edited that episode, got the show notes up, put it up on the website, all in a really quick space of time, sometimes a day, and we piled it all onto that day thinking that maybe that was the best way to do it because it would be efficient and it wouldn't take up a big part of our week. But it ended up being stressful. So this time around, what we decided to do was to record the podcast a week out from when we release it. And that would give us time to edit it, get it up onto the website, and not necessarily have this really dedicated and stressful podcasting day. And one of the things that I found from that is that when you record a podcast, it's quite common to feel a little bit uncertain about what you've recorded. And sometimes that can feel like a vulnerability hangover if you've been particularly honest. You might stress about, oh, should I have shared that much about my insecurities or whatever it is. And the thing that I found was that if we were putting the episode out straight away, I would stress about that. But it's amazing what a couple of days will do. So we'll record the episode, and by the time it is going to be released, I'm like, oh, whatever, that's fine. It's because you've given yourself a little bit of time to detach and to also put things in perspective. When we are close up to things, we often don't evaluate things in a realistic way. It's the same with art. When we are very close to a painting and we've just worked on it, we are not in a good position to evaluate whether it's at a good stage, whether it's finished, whether it's good. But if we look at that same piece of work a few days later or a week later, we can see the whole painting. And it's the same with the podcast. Instead of honing in on that one sentence that you said that you worry about and think, oh, someone could take that the wrong way, they might misinterpret that, that's not what I meant, you listen to it and you hear the whole conversation. And so giving us that space in order to record it, step away from it for a bit, edit it maybe a couple of days later, I will often listen to it at least 4 or 5 days after we recorded it. And by that time, that relaxation has kicked in and I'm in a better place. So it's made me realize the value of building in these breathing spaces, I guess you would say, into your process, whatever your process is, whether that is painting, creating a video, creating a podcast, writing a book, writing a blog post. We need to pause and give ourselves time. So that's been super, super valuable.
Yeah, a great example was I was sick on Sunday and yesterday, and I thought today was Monday. And I was in my office and you came in and said, oh, we have the podcast to do. No problem. I'll just set up. We'll come and we'll do it. It was just very simple. Okay, we'll do it at 10. Let's get started.
Yeah, and that's why we are talking about it, because I do realize that not many people listening have a podcast and they're probably not all that interested in our podcast process. But I'm sharing it because it's the starting point for a way of thinking that has been incredibly helpful and beneficial in my life. And the knock-on effect is that it's had a positive impact on your life.
Happy wife, happy life.
That's right. So the other thing I wanted to mention in relation to the way that we approach this podcast is that we sat down and brainstormed 10 episodes at the very beginning of the season. So in the past, we would get to podcasting day and you would say, what are we chatting about? And I would say, I have no idea. And it would be this process that had to be gone through every single week. And it created a lot of, I guess, stress, but also it just was time consuming. And there are so many things that we can talk about. There are many, many ideas out there for podcast conversations, and I didn't need to be stressing so much. And so what I did was I turned it over to our audience and I asked them to submit ideas and questions, and we just simply went through and chose 10 topics, and then I sat down and I wrote the captions for those 10 topics and the titles in a couple of hours. And since then, all we have done is just sit down to chat each week. And so another lesson learned from this was that there is power in planning. You don't want to get overly caught up in planning, which can be a downfall for me. But if you can make it simple, take that done is better than perfect approach. Why do I need to think about all the possible things we could talk about? How about I just take the 10 most popular requests from my audience and just let those conversations be the 10. How about I make it that simple for myself? You always need to have a little bit of flexibility, because sometimes a really great idea will come while you're walking the dog or something like that, and you want to talk about that topic because it's current and relevant to what you are doing at the moment. But because of the way that we design these conversations to be very fluid, I was always able to bring that in anyway. Even if we had a set theme, I would bring in things that I had thought about since we made that initial plan. So that has been helpful. And I think that's something I would like to bring into my art making in some kind of way. I've talked about how it can be beneficial to bring in some parameters and focus when making art. And I wonder if I could just sit down and spend a bit of time thinking about, okay, this is what I want to work on over the next 10 weeks, write it down, bring in some accountability, and then get to work. That's something I would like to test out. And it ties into the theme that I would like to explore next season, which is around being more in creative flow, being more prolific with my art, getting into the studio and getting to work quickly. Those are the things that are coming to mind. So this season, the theme was about being more relaxed, and I have felt that in almost every aspect of my life, and particularly in relation to how I feel about my work when I sit down and look at what I've done for the day. I am so much more able, does that make sense? So much more capable of being calm and kind to myself when I finish my work and when things get a bit weird or things go backwards rather than forwards. I've been able to bring in this idea of just taking a deep breath, walking away, pausing, knowing that I will come back to it and feel differently in a few days. So now that I've mastered that, and people listening might be thinking, oh my goodness, she's only just mastering this.
I'm sitting over here saying, someone's listening to this going, duh.
There was a lovely review recently where someone said that listening to me talk about some of my insecurities made them feel so much more like they weren't alone, and that they were surprised to hear that I have these things going on, but we all do.
It's easy for someone who's relaxed to relax. Someone whose brain goes a million miles an hour, it's not natural or it's not automatic for them to relax. They have to tell themselves to slow down. Once you set your sights on something, it's all consuming and it's all you do. And yeah, sometimes you have to tell yourself to relax.
Yeah, the pace at which my brain can go at and the way that it just can't stop is scary sometimes for me. And there's a lot of things that I've had to do in my life to force relaxation. So I think I used to call it scheduled relaxation or things like that. I know that I do need to switch off several hours before I go to bed. I can't be the kind of person that works an hour or two right before they get into bed. That's just a no-go zone for me because it will affect my sleep. I will still be thinking, writing things down in my head, organizing ideas if I do that. So I very rarely work once I get home, especially now that we have the studio. We talked about our studio in the very first episode that we came back after our break. I think it was episode 149. We now have a separate studio from our home. It's about 5 minutes drive from our home. And that has helped enormously as well and contributed to this more relaxed approach because I associate working with here and do have quite a regular work schedule here. People might be surprised in a way, but we pretty much get here at nine and I leave here anytime between 5 and 6 and do a pretty normal 9-to-5 type day at the studio. I sometimes come here on the weekends and pop in and do a bit of extra work here and there or have a studio session on the weekends. But once I come home from 6 p.m. onwards, I focus almost exclusively on other stuff, shall we say, family life, dinner. And I mentioned in one of the episodes how I had been using that ClearSpace app to limit my social media use as well. And I've been doing that to limit social media use during my more dedicated studio sessions, but also to limit social media use during those critical times in the evening. I call them critical times, and I think anyone who has kids will know this is the time when there's dinner, homework, decompressing the day with whoever has had a hard day or has something they need to talk through. Sometimes for you it involves walking around the house with an 11-year-old son trailing you through every room, talking in a monologue about something that they're interested in.
Dinosaurs in space or something.
So I have been using that app to help with detaching from social media. Interestingly, partway through this season, we got a puppy. And since we've had the puppy, my social media use and my phone use has gone down incredibly, like 40% lower or something like that, because of the amount of work involved in looking after a puppy, taking her out for her toilet breaks. And there's not a lot of time. When you see a puppy needing to go and you're potty training and you see them doing the little signs, sniffing around, you don't have time to go and grab your phone or your coffee. You just need to get outside. So I would take her outside, and then sometimes it would take 10 minutes or so before, you know, she does her business, so to speak. And that would be time that I would just be sitting down on the chair, just watching the birds, relaxing. So I'm not recommending going out and getting a puppy for this purpose, but it has been another aspect which was not planned that has been so good for my mental health. And I want to talk about it forever, but you will limit me on my puppy talk.
You have a puppy. I've got an 11-year-old son that's absolutely crazy about jiu-jitsu at the moment, and he's done a couple of competitions. He trains 3 times a week and he absolutely loves it. And the great thing about it for me is I take him to training sessions and I sit there and I watch him or I drop him off, and I have those same moments where nothing is in my head. You know, I'm in the gym, I'm sitting there, he's doing his thing and I'm just twiddling my thumbs. But it's also good socially because I get to talk to other parents, and we've met a couple of friends and he's met a couple of friends, and it's really good. So you have your puppy and I have Usher.
I remember when you went away and I was taking him to those sessions, and I also feel a benefit from that too, just from finishing work early, because he has his training at around 4 p.m., going down there, sitting, watching, chatting. It's also another nice way to take a break from some of the other things going on and that relentless pace of social media and being contacted on your phone. I also have been going to Pilates, which I've mentioned, twice a week, and that is something that also delivers to me that sense of relaxation and mindfulness, although it's not relaxing. Sometimes I get in there at the very beginning, you do a warm-up, which is lying down. It's not relaxation, but it's also not as hard as what's to come. And I always lie down and wish that I was going into a yoga nidra class, which is a relaxation-focused yoga class. And then I'm like, oh, damn it.
I have to work now.
Because you start lying down and it just feels really relaxing to lie down, and then I realize that this lying down part's not going to last more than a minute. So, I've been enjoying that. And so it's a culmination of all these things.
But it's one of those things where you work really, really hard to get this business up and running, and you flirt dangerously with burnout and like really doing some damage to yourself. And then you come to the realization that relaxing is something that doesn't come naturally to me. So it's something I then have to plan for, plan around, make sure it happens, make it a non-negotiable. It's important that people understand that not everybody is naturally relaxed. Like, some people have to plan for it and make time for it. And it's the same with your movements. Like going to this Pilates class, it's not until you actually start doing it and you realize that how bad you are at moving, it can be an eye-opener. And then you start to do it, and you do it twice a week or 3 times a week, and you start to move a little bit better. And you understand that it's beneficial to your life on so many levels. So this combination of relaxing your mind and also starting to move more is beneficial to you, especially now that you have a dog that you have to run around after and bend down to pick up after and take on walks. So you're getting this really awesome holistic benefit of this relaxation decision.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I started Pilates, I thought a good bit about when I wanted to do it as far as the time of the day. And initially I was going in the mornings, but I've started going in the afternoons, which I actually thought would be the worst time to go. So the classes are at 2 p.m., 1:30 p.m., right before that afternoon slump. And I've found that I enjoy those classes the most, and I seem to be able to perform better in those classes. And I said to you, I actually Googled it. And when I Googled it, I had to laugh because the answer that I got, and of course you can get any answer you want on Google, but the answer was that when you are getting older and of a certain age, that you are more warmed up in the afternoon. So the optimum time to exercise could be the afternoon because you've already done some kind of movement. But anyway, that's just a little trivial fact. But I realized that going in the afternoon was a really nice way to break up my day so that I didn't stay in the same position all day. And that's one of the perks of working for yourself, is being able to choose these things and choose these times. And it doesn't pass me by, that thought, because I often get out of Pilates and I think to myself, how lucky am I? How lucky am I that I was able to do that? Because when I worked in an office in a 9-to-5, the Pilates session is 50 minutes long, and then you have getting there and, you know, sorting yourself out and maybe having lunch. I would never have been able to fit that into a lunch break in the place that I worked before. So I feel incredibly lucky to be able to go and do a Pilates session at 1:30 in the day and be able to work my life around that. And yeah, I try and just think on that as I walk out, because I always feel amazing when I walk out of Pilates. I always feel a high and I feel a sense of gratitude.
Yeah, there's an old saying, I've never had a workout that I ever regretted doing.
Yeah, I often think of that when I want to go for a walk. Well, actually, I don't want to go for a walk. When I don't want to go for a walk, and then I remind myself, because I know that you've mentioned that to me many times and said, when have you ever gone on a walk and regretted it? When have you come back and said, geez, I shouldn't have gone on that walk? Never. Even the rainy ones and the miserable ones are exhilarating in their own way.
Yeah, I'd come back from a run sometimes and Asher would say to me, or Sophia, oh, it was Sophia that said to me, she goes, Dad, like, do you get the runner's high? And I always look at her going, nope, I hate running. But there is something, I think it's overcoming the desire to not go and then doing it. That's where the happiness is.
Well, I think you are a unique individual who gets a high out of being grumpy.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Gives you something to be grumpy about.
Yeah, I think that comes with age. It's because I have absolutely nothing to complain about. So I have to make stuff up.
Yeah, kids say to me, Dad's really grumpy. And I'm like, well, that's just his...
That's how he communicates.
His self-expression. He has to have something to be grumpy about. Oh. You remind me of the cat.
See, I'll take that. I like the cat.
So anyway, yeah, so what have we been talking about here? Anything but art. Basically, we've talked about Pilates, puppies, the podcast, all the peas today. So before we move on to some questions, I did want to say a little bit more about how having this puppy has changed things around here, because it has changed things quite massively, as you would imagine if you get a puppy. Anyone who's had a puppy knows that a puppy is plenty of work. I am having to take the puppy out every 1 to 2 hours, coordinate my day around her, take her for walks, entertain her. She's very good. She's very, very good. And she does sleep for 2 to 3 hours at a time, usually in the morning and the afternoon. And I know not everyone wants to hear about puppy stuff, but...
Me included.
And Richie's always rolling his eyes because I have been talking nonstop about this puppy. It's been quite the obsession. But she has been so good for my mental health. And I didn't even expect that. I wasn't expecting her to bring in so much. I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's been a surprise to me. We've had a puppy before, and we had a puppy at a time of life that was very busy. So we had a young child who was 3. I was working 4 days a week. And as much as I loved what that dog became, the puppy stage was hard. And I remember several times thinking, I would like to give this dog back.
Yeah, I remember there was a time where we sat down and we discussed that. And, well, you discussed it, but I was like, I think you were exhausted from the puppy. And then one day I came in from work and there was hair everywhere. And we sat down and had a legitimate conversation about what we were going to do with Cooper. And I think we were 2 or 3 minutes into the conversation, we were, what are we talking about? Of course, we can't get rid of the dog.
Yeah, I do remember that. I do remember us having an actual sit down. How are we going to move forwards with this puppy? Because he was a golden retriever, big dog, high energy, required a lot. And probably, to be honest, it wasn't the best time to be getting that dog. And I'm sure many people go through this. But anyway, fast forward 10 years or so, and now we're self-employed, we're at home or at the studio, the puppy can be with us all the time, kids are older, and I am at a stage of life where I need somewhere else for my mind to go, and maybe it's just an instinct to nurture as well, but geez, I've just landed in this and loved every minute of it, which is surprising to me. I mean, it's amazing because I didn't expect it to be quite so enjoyable, but I'm loving it. And another thing is, as well, which is a real benefit, is the amount of information out there now and how we have YouTube where you can look up tips and things, and that's amazing. And, oh, that's a good segue. Speaking of YouTube, we have a video that's our last YouTube video where I'm actually going through a week in our life. So it includes a full week, and we do have a bit of a structure to our week. So there's our morning meeting, our podcasting, my studio day on Friday, and other bits and pieces that happen during the week, and painting, me just being in the studio, and how that's going with, I think at the point that we recorded the video, Willow, our puppy, would have been about 12 weeks, 11 weeks old. So it's a video that I'm sure some people will enjoy, other people maybe not so much, but it's basically a week in the life of an artist who's a new puppy mum. That's on the channel now if you would like to check it out. And it's a vlog style. We're experimenting a little bit with a different style of video. With this particular video, we also had a different camera, which threw up some challenges too. So it took us a while to put this one together, but it is super cute, and it does actually have a lot of art in it as well. So there's a balance. Richie made sure of that so that I didn't go too crazy with the dog. So that's a vlog that's up on our YouTube channel. So now what I wanted to do was just answer a couple of questions that came through. Now, I popped up a Q&A to get some questions for this season finale, and we had some questions come through, but they were so good that I looked at them and thought, geez, that's 5 or 6 podcast episodes right there. And so I don't know if this is going to be a bit of a downer because I'm not going to answer these questions today, But what I will do is flesh them out into episodes for next season. But there are a couple of questions that I'm going to answer today, one of which is around, will there be any new classes? And the reason that I'm going to answer that today is because I wanted to explain a bit about why we are having a break and how we have set up the podcast going forwards for longevity of the podcast and to enable us to make sure that we do the other creative work that is important. So the answer to that question is yes, there will be some new classes, and that's one of the reasons why we are only doing the podcast in seasons of 10 episodes, and then between each season we will be taking a break. And the break that we have scheduled for this time round is 4 weeks. So we will be coming back on the 15th of April, and that break will allow us some time to fully focus on new art and new course creation. And it's not that the podcast takes up our whole week, it doesn't, but it just gives us that little bit of extra time to enable us to go deep and focus in the way that we like to focus when we create a class. And when we create a class, we do like to kind of block out a week or two and focus fully on that. So that is the plan for this break. The other plan for me is to spend a lot of time painting. That's what I really want, and to put some of the admin work aside over the next 4 weeks and focus on getting into a good flow. And I think that's what we will theme next season of the podcast around, is maintaining momentum and flow with your creative practice. That answers that question. And then the other question I thought I would answer in this episode was specific to last week's episode, which was about reels. And so the question was, I might get you to read the question out actually, just so I get it right.
It's how to add captions on the reel itself that change as the reel plays on.
Okay. I'm hoping that I'm understanding this right. I'm not 100% sure about this question, because we have been having a bit of confusion around captions, whether we are talking about captions that are auto-generated from your audio, so it looks like a subtitle in English, or whether or not we're talking about captions that you add as a text overlay. So you have text coming in. So with our reels, you might have something like, ignite your creativity, get your free guide, those sorts of things. I'm not 100% sure with this one, but I'm going to talk about what we do for both, and hopefully it will answer.
Okay, well, let's call the subtitles captions, because that's what they're called, closed captions.
Yes.
And let's call the titles titles.
Okay, I hope this is clear for people. So in relation to adding closed captions, when I upload something to Instagram and I do it myself, I would simply add it as a reel. I would simply add the footage with the audio to the reels section of the app and then choose the captions option in Instagram, and it will automatically generate those captions and they will flow with your voice. And you can go in and click on the caption and you can edit it. So if one of the words is wrong or the timing's not right, you can change it a little bit if you want. But on the whole, I just do it automatically and it lines up with when you speak. I'm not sure that that's what she's asking about, but I just thought I'd mention that. Alternatively, you can do it in an editing app, which is what Richie does. So do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, I use an app called Adobe Premiere Pro, and it's pretty much the same thing. It will auto-generate. Obviously, there'll be some words that don't match, and we just change them to make sure that it's you're saying the word that actually comes up, and then we decide where they sit on the little video.
Yeah, so that's captions, pretty straightforward. And in Instagram, you can change the font, and similar with you, you can change the font and change where they sit and all that sort of stuff. In relation to putting text on your reels that are titles, it's a little bit different. You can go into Instagram in the Reels app itself, or in the Reels part, and you can add text, and then you can use your fingers to adjust the timing of where you want it to sit in the video. So it's you drag the beginning and the end with your fingers and you adjust each text, and then you can add a new one and you can change where it starts and where it finishes by pulling in the ends. It's really fiddly, and sometimes I have spent ages trying to get my text in the right spots on a reel. It's much easier to do it on an editing app. And if you are going to be doing many reels, reels is a regular thing for you, I would be starting to look at how can you edit your reels off of the Instagram app and then bring them in with your captions or your titles already on there, rather than trying to do it on your phone with your fingers and trying to like pull in things. It's fiddly. So there's heaps of apps out there that you can use, but that's what I would suggest.
The title is its own entity on the timeline, so you can drag it and drop it anywhere you want. And the great thing about doing it on an editing platform, you can copy that title. So if you're happy with the text, if you're happy with the animation, if you're happy with the color, the size, and all of that stuff, and obviously the font, then you just copy the entire thing and change the words. And it's more eye-catching, it's more professional, it's faster.
Yeah, we've started doing that with the podcast clips. Richie now does the captions on his editing app, and it does look a lot more professional. You can choose a wide variety of fonts. You're not limited to the fonts that Instagram provides. So straight away, it has a more professional feel.
A great example would be if you wanted to give me the days of the week for a title. Well, you only have to make Monday and send it to me. So you make something on Canva and you send that to me. Then all I'll have to do is copy it 7 times and just change the words. Like, it's very efficient.
Yeah, I've watched you and been blown away, because I've spent an hour trying to get these fiddly little titles and getting it to come in at just the right point. It's so tricky with the timeline in Reels on your phone because it's tiny, and it does have different lines and layers, so you can manipulate different aspects of the video, the music, the different text titles, but it's tiny because it's on your phone. Another thing is that the automatic caption generator on your software is so much better than the one on Instagram. It's almost perfect. It picks up my voice really well. And I think you said that you can train it.
It is. There's AI. Adobe uses an AI. And so it's just the more we use it, the more accurate it gets.
Yeah, it's really good. So the software you use is Adobe, what is it called?
Premiere Pro. And it's quite expensive. It's an expensive suite. I think they do have a free version for mobile called Adobe Rush.
Oh, I think that's quite good. I think I've heard people talk about that option.
And there is a free version of that. I'm sure there is.
So Adobe Rush. Can you think of any other common editing apps that people might use for reels that are a little bit more affordable, readily available?
There is an editing platform called DaVinci Resolve, and it is free. It's worth downloading it, the free version. Now, obviously, you pay for the pro version, but you would not need it. And DaVinci Resolve, it's pretty much, if you go onto YouTube and you Google DaVinci Resolve, you will see thousands of videos. Should I have Premiere Pro when DaVinci Resolve exists? Like, it's very powerful. So I would suggest, I wouldn't give any other editing program advice. I would say download DaVinci Resolve, do a couple of tutorials on YouTube and have fun.
It's definitely worth looking at editing apps outside of Instagram, for sure, for these videos. And you can still add some of the Instagram features once you've uploaded the reel with your text and your captions. You can add any other stickers or things that you want to put into your reel. It just gives you that base to work from. And of course, you can add in your audio. So you can bring the reel in if you want to add music. If it's a reel with music, you can bring your footage in with your titles and then add the music once you are in Instagram, so you can access that library of trending audio and utilize that, which we talked about last week as one of the approaches that we use. So that's it as far as the questions that I will be answering in this particular podcast episode, but I want to run through the questions that were submitted. And then if you can sit back and imagine that these would be fleshed out into podcast episodes, this is super helpful for us, because in this conversation, we talked about how last season we planned 10 episodes in advance. Right now, we are about to plan how many episodes in advance?
Oh, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 questions here.
So this is half of the season.
But I know you have some episodes in your notebook.
I do. So we've basically done this task. How good is that? Yeah, how relaxing great. Is this approach? So thank you, everyone, for helping us out. And Richie will now run through the questions and we will flip these into topics.
Yeah, so questions for next season episodes. When I was reading through these, I was like, these aren't questions. Like, this is you thinking out loud.
No, these are questions that came through on my stories.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
They're great, aren't they? Yeah, they're really good topics.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm thinking about the 4-week break we're going to have, and they all relate to you in this 4-week break. So it's like,
Yeah,
you're in touch with your community, I think.
So run through each one and I'll just speak a little bit to each idea.
Okay. Do you ever exhibit your art locally, or do you prefer to focus on sales and practice online?
So I thought this would be great to talk through the pros and cons of selling your work and exhibiting your work in person versus online. And I've done both. So it's going to be a great topic as far as my past experience, but also I want to talk about some of my future desires around this, because although I have focused on online for the past probably 5 years or so, there is some part of me that is feeling a desire to create a body of work that is exhibited in person again. And the reason I know this is because some artists that I follow recently have just had exhibitions and I felt jealous. And in that moment, I thought, what is that jealousy trying to tell me? It's telling me that there's something unfulfilled inside of me because I haven't had that experience of having my art on a wall where people can view it and get up close to it, that really tactile kind of experience. I've been so focused on art licensing and selling online and those kind of avenues, which are great and they have pros, and I'm not going to talk too much because this is the reason why we're turning it into an episode. They have pros that fit with my personality, but there's an itch that I need to scratch as far as getting my work out and getting pieces on walls. So we will talk through that and explore the pros and cons of both. Yeah, no, I'm feeling it. Like, the more I paint in my new studio and the more the work builds up, it just needs to go on walls. It needs to be out there.
I'm getting excited. How to analyze and keep track of work when you're trying a lot of different styles, media, and subjects?
I love this idea because it can get confusing when you work across a wide variety of different things. And the skill of being able to analyze your work and reflect on it and critique your own work and understand the direction that you are pursuing and how this all fits together, that's valuable. And that's something I also want to get better at. I want to get better at that self analysis. So that's an amazing topic to talk about. Like, how do we reflect on our work and how do we make sense of a wide variety of different things? There's nothing wrong with having a wide variety of work. It's just, how do we process it?
Mm-hmm. How do you decide when you're done?
Yeah, so this is a topic that is always popular and a question that comes up, you know, how do you finish a painting? And it's one that we did explore many years ago. So in our catalogue of episodes, there is an episode on how to finish a painting, but that was a couple of years back now. So I think it would be a great opportunity to re-explore and to provide some very practical tips around what you can do to help you bring pieces to completion. In a previous episode, I talked about the fact that I don't feel that this is a massive struggle for me. I do generally have a pretty good idea of when a painting is finished, and I have built up many tools that I use. And it is about tools, it's about experience, and it's about confidence. So you certainly can get there with finishing. So let's revisit that one.
Brilliant. There's one here and it says, how do you get from sketchbook to canvas? And the way I'm reading this is, when they say sketchbook, that's anything. That could be like A5 pieces of paper, doodles, practice work. And how do you get from there up onto your canvas?
Yeah, another really interesting topic. And there are many different perspectives on this, because some people create sketchbook work that informs their canvas work but doesn't necessarily look like their bigger canvas pieces. And other people will actually do mini studies and have quite a strong relationship between what they do in their sketchbook and what they do on the canvas. So we can dive into the different perspectives that are out there and then also talk about how you can bring what's in your sketchbook onto the canvas, whether it's in a small way or in a big way.
And just the last one here, how to find your flow again after a long period away from creating.
Well, this will tie into our overarching theme of maintaining creative flow. But of course, if you've had a break, you've got to get it up and running again. And in life, it's quite natural for us to have longer breaks because life happens. We might have been busy with work, busy with something going on in our personal lives, family reasons. There are many reasons why we might end up having an extended break from our creativity, but it's about knowing that your creativity is always there waiting and it's accessible to you, and there are easier ways to tap into it. And sometimes we just make it too hard for ourselves. We want to eliminate the friction and make it easy to step into and ride the wave of momentum. So we'll talk about that, and that's going to be a big part of our conversations next season, about flow, momentum, regular practice, and the results of that being prolific. And I don't like using the word productive, but we are talking about being productive in a healthy way. Well, I don't want to undo all the good work of this season, which has been about relaxation, by then creating these crazy expectations for myself and going into next season thinking, oh, I need to be productive, I need to get this many pieces made, because I know then I'm going to have to go back to relaxation as the theme in the next season, and that's not what I want. I want to build from relaxation to flow and have it be a healthy combination of the two themes. Mm-hmm. So I'll be very mindful of that as we move into the next season, that this is to support what the good work that we've done already around relaxation.
Yeah, well, we're coming to the end of the podcast, and our very first podcast this season, we had a little segment, and it was exciting to have this little segment in our podcast, and we never revisited it. So just on this last episode of this season, could we please go back to Studio News?
Yeah, this was a bit of a fail, because we had this idea that we would have this Studio News section where I would talk about what I'm working on currently, but we'd always get swept up in the topic, and before we'd know it, similar to this episode, we'd have been chatting for an hour and then we'd be looking at our watches and thinking, geez, we should wrap things up. So we didn't really get into the studio news. But as far as what I have been working on, a lot of it has been inspired by our conversations. And so I've been finishing off pieces that I had started years ago and doing some makeovers on older work and getting to grips with what I want to achieve going forwards through experimentation and exploration. But I am starting to get a sense of what I want to work on, and I'm moving into, I guess, a more focused flow state. And so that's where I am at the moment. So I do want to finish things because I think that you do get a sense of closure from finishing things, or else if I don't finish the stuff that I've started, I do want to put some things away. So if I decide, okay, I've got what I wanted out of that, I'm done, I think it's time to put some things away so that I can focus on an area and have a little bit more momentum with it. And also, it's time for us to create some more classes. So part of finding that focus will be finding the ideas that I want to explore in depth and teach. So that's where I am heading, and there will be some new classes over the next few months. I'm super excited about it. I really enjoy creating classes. I find it very beneficial for my own creative process. So it's bye for now for us, just for 4 weeks. So it's not a huge break. We'll be back on the 15th of April, and this is a break to enable us to get away from our screens and filming, or not filming, but recording podcasts and things like that, and focus on art. And then that will lead to filming some new classes. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in to this season. I'd love to hear whether you've enjoyed some of the changes that we've made to the podcast, or maybe if you haven't. We've tried to get a good mix of things in each season, and with your help, I'm super excited about what's shaping up for next season when we come back in April. So given that there's a bit of a break now for the next 4 weeks, if you wanted to catch up on some of our older podcast episodes, or just find out more about some of the classes we already have, resources, head on over to laurahornart.com. And then you can also find me on Instagram at laurahornart. You can check out the YouTube video that I mentioned in this episode over on YouTube at laurahornart. So there's plenty of places where you can dig in and hopefully stay inspired during this 4-week break.